Accession number 10726, Reel 2.
Mr. West, Reel 2. So you're saying there was a German corporal?
There was a German corporal had spoken in German to them. They took two men and the German corporal away from where we was. We didn't know where he went. Anyhow, he was wounded. I don't know how he'd got hit with, but it was the own bullets of the Germans that hit this one on the right hand looking at us. And after that, somebody throwed another bomb in. Jennings dived for this bomb. I'm certain he tried to pick it up to sling back. He didn't have a chance. That gun, that bullet, that bomb killed him stone dead. I didn't see where the injuries was, but he never moved. And after that, they throwed another bomb in. It hit the post of the hut, and the lad there, we called him a kid. He was a kid. He had never fired a bullet. And as the bomb hit the thing, Bert...
Was this Bert Evans?
Bert Evans. The next time as I saw, because I ducked. Now, when I saw him, his right arm was absolutely riddled. He'd got little bits of his flesh left on what he'd been hit. And he was only a few seconds from the time they'd thrown the bomb and it hit the post. And Bert was there. He was upright there, but nobody knows that he was unconscious. He just stood there. I remember it. And I told him after... when this was in 1973, I knew about Bert. Because there was a bust up with the government. Everybody shouted after the CSM Jennings had been killed up fat on the where we had stood. They throwed them anywhere, bombs, and they also stood in the place. But as they started to add the automatics, I was down. But as they hit them, so they was on top of me. And
So they fired automatic weapons into the bar.
All
as well.
automatics in the Germans. I don't know what they was, but they was they could fire the same rate as a Spondo. Let's say fast, about 600 a minute. There was no end of firing, and after a while, nobody moved. Only the Germans bar in the... There'd be a couple of steps away from the cowshed. And I was still underneath the blokes there. And we heard some trampings of feet going away. I don't know what time it was. But I'll tell you what did happen. While I was with the officer, we had a storm. It come down like hell. And they tried to push the Germans in. This was before what I'd told you before. And they couldn't get in. There was a man. I said before...
Who tried to push the Germans in where?
They tried the Germans into the cowshed to prevent the rain coming in. It was a big storm.
This was before the massacre, was it?
Yes, it was, the storm. And nobody could get in. There was about, I always said there were between 80 and 90 men in that barn. And
so you were saying that you fell under several other bodies?
Yeah.
Two or three other bodies?
Yes.
What happened to you after that?
Well, I stopped there for about, I should say, about 2 hours without a noise. And I got up and I said, I'm going out. I didn't know who was there. And I heard a voice and he said, don't go out, Agger. Don't go out, Knocker, he said. And I could see Agger Hall sitting up against the wall, the wooden wall there, and there was no other, there was no end of dead men sitting there, and there was out. And
Your nickname was Knocker, was it?
Yes, it was. And he called out to me, and I just took no notice of him. And when I got round the corner there, there was one of the men there that I knew him after the war, 1973. I met him at Dunkirk, and he said, "You was in the hut, weren't you?" I said, "Yes." "Your name's..." Oh, I forget. He was a man that told me at Dunkirk he'd tried to get through the side of a hole, and they'd fired at him, and he had two bullets through his mouth.
Oh. Tell me what happened to you. You said that you went out of the barn.
I went out of the barn, and I went to where the crops of in the hill there, perhaps it was oats one side, it was in May, the month of May, wheat one side, wheat the other, and there was a ditch all the way, and I went, I forget how far it was.
Did you go along the ditch?
Along the ditch,
did you,
yes.
Did you crawl?
I crawled along there, and the first time I got on the top of the head, I saw a soldier of my regiment was sitting on the bank, and he got his hand like that.
Over his chest?
Over his chest with blood. And I remember him after, Merry, his lad was. He was out of the 2nd Battalion.
Was he alive?
I didn't even look. He just sat, the person was just there. I wouldn't go against him. I was that deadly. I daren't do it. And I thought he was dead. And he'd had a bullet through him, and he'd put his hand like that.
Was it light or dark when you came
out? Light when I got in. And I don't know the time, but when I went through where I'd been, where the buzzer was, the line for the there, where the exchange was, there was nobody there where I'd dug and left in there, and the telephone. I went down the side of the it was only a small field with bushes each side all the way down. I went down there and I heard somebody moaning. And I went down there and I found Major Arbone, I used to play cricket him in India, had come from India to Aldershot before we went there. Major Arbone and little Chalky White had left him on the telephone. And Chalky had got it wasn't a bullet, it was a cannon shot through his thigh on his back. And Major Arbone had got, I couldn't tell you how many wounded he'd got, was partly in the side of his right side, and there was with him Sergeant Plant, had got a Red Cross band on his arm, and he had a chap that was out of the band in the other regiment, was doing the same with what do you call it? I forget his name now. It's in the book somewhere.
So when you got out of the barn, did you seek help from French people?
No, there was nobody there. I didn't look for anybody. All the man that I saw coming out of there was the man that sat on the bank that had his right arm over his chest, and I thought he'd got blood all over his chest. He hadn't. The chap told me himself, he lives in an Eton now. He'd had a bullet through his arm, and he'd put his arm like that. And he hadn't got one through the chest.
But did you get help from French people?
No, none at all. Wait a minute. I went help the Major Arbone and Chalky White with Sergeant Plant was a stretcher bearer and another one. It's in the book. I forget him now. Ginger-haired chap. Bit of a comic he was before we went out to France. And the RSM came along the field and started shouting. He got two Germans with him. He said, if there's any of you there, you better come out. And Plant and his stretcher bearer help Major Arbone and dragged him through the bushes into the field where the Germans were. He was carried him in an overcoat, a loose overcoat that dragged him along. And they went and fetched Chalky out, and they dragged him out. He hadn't got overcoat. And
so this was after the massacre that this RSM Turner came with two Germans.
Yes.
And called for you to come out.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you come out?
No, I didn't.
Where did you stay?
In the bushes, there.
And then did he go away with the Germans?
They went away. And they had a kind of a truck there. And they put him in the truck.
Put who in the truck?
Major Arbone and, I forget the name of the chap's name. A ginger-haired chap.
So, did they put the dead bodies in the truck? Or living soldiers?
I couldn't tell you whether there's any dead body. They were wounded men put in there. That's all I knew. I mean, I didn't look out. But I knew they'd been taken out and put on the lorry there. And I waited there quite a way. And I went towards the houses where the officers had made what they call an officers' mess there. And as I went into Walmoot, the Stukas had dropped the bombs around there, and it began to get dark. It wasn't very clear. And I looked where there was a bomb house there, and I got in the back bedroom of where it was, because I got all blood all over me soldier's thing, and I went to sleep. The next morning I woke up, I was searching around for civilian clothes.
Were you wounded at all?
No, not at all. Not at all. And
so you were going to disguise yourself as a civilian, were you?
Well, I went like for what. The only thing I couldn't get was my socks and boots, army boots. I could find a bit rough trousers. I had to tie some string or something like that round my waist, because I hadn't got a belt. I'd got blood all over me braces. And as I went out, there was nobody about until I went down Walmoot. And I saw an old man there. And I said to him, "Vous avez mangé?" And he said, "Pas mangé." You know what I mean, don't you?
No food.
Yeah, no food. And he said, put his finger up, and he said, he run into the house. He bought me a bottle of beer. And I didn't know whether it was beer or water, but I drank it. It's only what I got.
Do you think he realised that you were a British soldier?
He knew I was a soldier. I told him to tell me, right? And he took and gave me this bottle of beer, but he disappeared into Walmoot. And
what happened next after that? After you met this man?
That was the end of the 28th. That was the 29th morning, 29th of May. I wandered across the fields. I don't know where I was going. And I came across three soldiers about 2 or 3 miles away from Walmoot.
Were these Warwickshires?
Pardon?
Were these Warwickshires?
No. There was one Warwick, Joe Fagan, his name was. I knew him in the signals at Aldershot. The other one, Tom Guthrie, he belonged to the Cameroners.
Cameronians?
Cameronians, yes. And the other one, his name was Bob Dundas. Bob Dundas. He come out of the Argyll and Sutherlands. We got talking to him, and we was in a building there, two or three buildings, but there was nobody there. And we searching about for things. The only things we could get was digging the spuds up what left. And we used to eat potatoes then. And some of the peas were reasonably good. And we used to eat them like that. But after the 6th of month of May, 6th of June, I came in contact with Orson Court and a woman about 50 to 54 I knew after, and his husband, her husband, his name was Madame Maplou. Do you know the spell? It's MEPLEAUSA, Maplou. But after the war of him, he came to Buckingham Palace to get decorated because it was nearly 800 men. We'd helped men through there, through the south of France, and I was told or asked after 6 weeks at Madame Maplou's house, I was asked to go to another place in, it's known to the French as Seyssel, but it was known by the French as Seyssel.
So this French lady gave you refuge, did she?
Yeah. Oh, yes, for 6 weeks.
Was that all three of you?
Yes.
All four of you?
Four of us altogether. And we used to sing up in the farmyard, the top place, not the bedroom.
In the loft?
Pardon?
In the loft?
It wasn't a lift, it was the attic of the bedroom. And we used to, sometimes we could get out and go across the fields. But when they was told by the mayor there, Marie, that the Germans was going to inhabit at Ebuterne. That was the name of the village there, Ebuterne. I was sent to Seyssel with a farmer there. He got a wife, one, two, three, four children in the farm, a quite big farm, but nine times out of ten, I used to sleep in the A place there, and there was one place there that if it was safe, they used to lift up with it. They showed us different things. They used to lift up with a pulley and get in the loft to go to sleep there. But during I lived there, I used to told by the farmer was
Marcel Rousseau.
That's the one, Marcel Rousseau.
Yes,
he was there, and he'd say, he'd tell me in French there was so many men at a village. And the boy there was 10 years of age, and he'd take me, when it was dark, we'd go, sometimes we'd go out there all night, and we'd stop out there till we come back to the farm. And I was known there in the village. I was all right in the village there. I could go into the estaminet there and have a light beer, which I had to, but I didn't drink much. And I might have perhaps red wine. But the lad was named Jean.
How far away from the barn at Wormhout, where the massacre took place, was this woman's house?
I couldn't tell you. It took me 4 or 5 days to go across to where we was picked up with Madame Maplou and her husband.
Did Madame Maplou know anything about this massacre?
I never mentioned it to her. Never mentioned it to her.
What about the three soldiers you were with? Did they know anything about the massacre?
No, nothing. They disappeared from the lines there.
How did you get back to England then? Were you able to get back?
To England? I was...
Or were you picked up by the Germans?
No, wait a minute. I was asked to join the Mackie. You know what the Mackie is?
The underground.
No. Underground wasn't sabotage. Because Madame Maplou, used to definitely say, no sabotage there. And I met one man in Sayers Hill. I had his book, a writer he was, after the war, and the padre asked me to give him his book.
But did you join the Mackie?
Yes, I joined the Mackie. I've done no end of journeys. Eventually, I was told by... I forget who the name was. To move down. Eventually, we went down
Donald
to...
Donald who? Who? Was it Donald?
No, before we got there, before we got to Donald Castry, the first time I went to Paris, not far away from the Eiffel Tower, and we was in a big flat there, and there was 7 of us there. 4 of the British and 3 of the airmen. And we was told there, and what I was told after, that they used...